to greet each one here in Jesus' name. I was appreciated the things that we heard already this morning. Just the reminder of preparation. You know, we don't prepare in good times for maybe whatever the unknown is. If we're not prepared, doing a work, then preparing ourselves when those uncertain times do hit us, that is a time that we will definitely struggle. As I just thinking about the things that I want to share this morning, and just like to share just a little bit what brought me to here this morning. 2 weeks ago, when I was studying and looking at the message that I shared 2 weeks ago, I again and again came across places in the Bible where God's people had a choice, needed to obey. And often they were simple commandments, but maybe if we were looking internally and looking at ourselves and the focus was on ourselves, it was a hard choice to make. And that one place especially struck me there was where Jonah had been asked to go and speak to preach to the people there. And, you know, what made him decide to turn away and go in his own direction? You know, as I pondered at it, it really probably was because he was thinking about himself. He was thinking about the people that, you know, maybe the harm that would come at him or the rejection that he might feel. And so he chose to instead do something other than what God asked him to do. So with those thoughts, I'd just like to, maybe we can stand and we'll have a time of prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we stand before you here this morning again with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have of being gathered together here as a body of believers. And Lord, we want to look into your word, and we want to hear from you this morning, Lord. And I just pray that you would, again, that you would impress on us the things that you want from us, Lord. Obedience, in that we would, even now, Lord, that we could prepare ourselves so that we can hear you and willingly obey. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with me as I share the things that you have laid upon my heart. Pray that you would give me the ability to share those things in a way that we can receive from you, and that we can take them home and apply them to our own lives. We just want you to receive all the honor and glory. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was studying 2 weeks ago, I felt like I already had another message to study on, and it just hit me. It's like, well, where does obedience start? Where can we start practicing this or teaching this? And so I guess the title of my message this morning is a reminder to us as parents in the job that we have and the difference that a direction that we can send our children in. a call to teach our children what a love obedience is what I would like for us to take from this message. And, you know, as I ponder the things that I want to share here, you know, as I was looking at these things, I realized that in my own heart and in my own life, you know, a need to grab a hold of that vision and to be diligent in those matters. A love obedience has a relationship. You know, when we think about obedience, you know, it's when it's a love, when we obey someone or a group of people, it, you know, if we do it because we love the people, it makes a difference. How does this kind of relationship look? A love obedient relationship. In thinking about in a parent, in a family relationship, you know, this, you know, if we look at God's word, it is the parent is leading out and the child is following. And then what is the purpose of this kind of relationship? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, you know, it talks about the child obeying children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And the purpose of the purpose of this, the foundation we are to build on, is that our children, that they might learn to trust, learn to surrender, learn to obey. For what purpose is it that we as fathers and mothers can have control of our children? If that's our goal, if that's our end goal, we are going to be very much disappointed, I believe, in the end of our mission, if that is the goal that we have. This kind of relationship will give them the kind of relationship that God is going to want from your child and from our children. So, you know, our goal is to prepare our children that, you know, when we have spoken, the time that we have to speak into their lives, that we give them a good foundation when, you know, when they come to the age where they have a choice to make to serve God, that they already understand some of these things, you know, a love obedience relationship. I'd like to, in this message, look at three different types of obedience. And the first one is fear obedience. And then the second one is dutiful servant obedience. And obviously the third one is a love obedience. If we, in life, if we find ourselves never getting past those first two obedience, you know, if we only obey because of we're afraid of what might happen if we don't, or if we only find ourselves being obedient because that's my job, that's my duty, we're going to run into problems. Our children are going to run into problems. And if we grow up in that kind of understanding, and we never find ourselves into this love relationship obedience, things will come into our lives and we will find ourselves burning out, giving up. The love of obedience is the only one that will ever really make us thrive as a people, as believers. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 25 there, a familiar scripture there. "And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." You know, these different individuals here that had different talents. And the one that, you know, he was, well, he didn't really have a whole lot to offer, he didn't think. And he was afraid. You know, it wasn't worth the time that the return, he didn't think it was going to be worth it. And so he just hid whatever he had and didn't do anything with it. And we see, you know, that looks to me like someone that had a burnout. You know, they didn't think it was worth it. And so they just quit. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 28, you know, a servant that was forgiven much there. And, you know, what did he do as soon as he was released from the burdens that were before him? You know, he turned around and went and found someone else that owed him. And he pursued him and told him that, you know, it's pay up time. And so, you know, we see that, you know, he never really received what was given to him. And so he was never able to truly give that. Going back to the first one there, fear obedience. You know, this kind of obedience will make decisions based on what I can get away with. You know, and, you know, maybe there's different situations here, but, you know, this is one of the things I think that often we see happening when we obey out of fear. You know, we make a decision. It's like, well, that your heart isn't really in it, but you know that you need to do this. And so that's sort of probably often where we make our line. You know, this kind of obedience probably will never make sacrifices that go beyond the situation. You know, if they can get away with it, they're not going to go beyond wherever the line is. And, you know, if they think they won't lose their salvation, then they probably won't bother doing it. You know, you may hear these kinds of Christians say, "I'm not going to worry about it because it's not really a salvation issue." So we can see the heart of their relationship. A lot of focus on self is what I see in the first two. Going down to dutiful obedience, you know, this person may look at God's word and say, "Why do I need to do these things? I don't understand. I don't see the purpose of this. I'm not going to do more than I have to do." And, you know, we can quickly see that God's word to this kind of heart is a list of do's and don'ts. and they probably often miss out on the blessings that could be theirs to have. And number three, love obedience, living the kingdom life. The question I believe that we will find in these hearts is in their mind is not if they can get around what God asks, but they realize that God asked this of them, gave them this commandment because he loves us. And we will find this group of people at times saying, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on, but I choose to believe. I choose to trust. I choose to obey. Because I know that God has a plan for me. And we see here, you know, it isn't a focus on myself. It isn't a focus on trying to please people, but rather it is a focus on wanting my life to please God. And that you see the heartbeat in that. I'd like to just look at some scriptures and some different accounts that we see where obedience was asked of individuals. And the first one is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. We see here that God had created the Garden of Eden, but he had told them that in this account that they were free to go to and fro and eat of the fruits of the trees, the fruit of the garden there. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. And, you know, in our human minds, you know, if someone, you know, if I was walking through an orchard and there was all these good trees with fruit, and they pointed out one tree that's like, well, I don't want you to pick from this tree. And it's, you know, not going to go well with you if you do. And leave it at that. And we would say, well, I don't understand. Why? And, you know, we don't have the answer. Are we, what kind of relationship are we going to find ourselves in here? Do we have that relationship that is going to see what I can get away with? Or do we have that heart that's like, well, I know that this is what God said. This is what he wants of me. And so this is what I'm going to do. In Numbers chapter 14, the children of Israel here, if we look at verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. We see a heart of unbelief, of not trusting God. They had just gotten, I believe here, they had gotten seen what they were up against there as far as coming into the land of Canaan. And it looked difficult. And instead of believing and obeying, they was like, you know, let's turn back. Let's go back to our old way of thinking, our old way of life. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, you know, God spoke to Moses here, and they were in need. They needed water. And God told Moses to gather the people together and to take, he told them to go to this certain rock, and he said to speak to the rock, and that water would come forth. And I believe that Moses found himself feeling a little frustrated, you know, with the people. And, you know, obviously, he, you know, God gave him, told him how he should perform there. And in Moses' excitement or frustration or whatever he was feeling there, he chose to strike the rock twice, I believe it said. And, you know, the water came forth. But we see that because of Moses not paying attention to what God had asked him personally to do, he had some consequences there. We turn to John chapter 9. Going down to verse 7 here, starting in verse 6, Jesus here was, in verse 6 here, but when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. You know, if we think about this encounter with Jesus here, in, you know, what Jesus did to him here, he was looking to receive his sight. All he wanted to do was see again. And Jesus took the time and made some clay with, you know, some dirt and some spit, and he rubbed it into his eyes. Well, I don't understand. Why would Jesus do that? And then he told him to go and wash in a particular pool. You know, it's like, well, can't I just use any water? You know, these are the kinds of thoughts that as a people, you know, if we're not committed, we find these things going through our thoughts. And maybe we try to find the shortcut. But we see here that, you know, Jesus, I'm sure, had a plan. And I think that his plan was to see if there was trust, to see if there was obedience. And then there was a response based on that, and we see that he came seeing. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, there was a leper that came and was healed. Chapter 8, verse 2, and behold, there came a leper, worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus' response was, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We see here that, you know, obviously, a man of faith, he was not in a very good situation. You know, he was sick, and if you have leprosy, I believe they in that time they couldn't be with people. What do we see him doing here as he came to Jesus? He worshiped him. You know, this would be a really good time for someone to be complaining, to be looking at my life and saying, it's like, well, you know, my life is not going the way I wanted. Life isn't fair. But we see him worshiping Jesus, and we see him experiencing Jesus' healing. And then in Luke chapter 17 there, you know, the 10 lepers that were healed, you know, Jesus gave them instructions. They came. He told them to go and see the priests. And they still had leprosy. And he told them, you know, it was an action that they needed to do. And as they did, they were healed. In John chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 there, you know, Jesus was came to this man that was in his bed, and he was sick. He couldn't walk. You know, if you don't have the strength to get up out of bed and, you know, walk. But what did Jesus do here? He said, rise up out of your bed. Take thy bed and walk. It's like, well, are you, you know, crazy? You know, I can't, you know, I haven't been able to do that for a long time. And, but, you know, he's asking for obedience. You know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it tells us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, another commandment that God has given us. So as we looked at those verses there, and there's many, many, many more, we can see there's something that is very important for us as believers. We see how we need to respond to God's Word, to His Holy Spirit as He speaks to us. And so I would like to just encourage us as parents to teach these things to our young children, and help them to grab a hold of obedience and to learn it, and that it's part of their life. I believe that we as parents have an opportunity, and we have a calling, a response. We have a responsibility in helping them to